Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin.
Hour 2 begins with a story about someone we all love. I think as far, we talk about D'Amico Ryans having this high rate of high Q rating. It's, who doesn't like D'Amico Ryans outside of recently retired Steven Nelson? Scott Hansen probably has a higher, and I'm talking about the NFL Network guy, not the other Scott Hansen who does very dramatic things. No, Chris Hansen, who does very dramatic things on Dateline. Scott Hansen, the host of NFL Red Zone, he's your guy to get you through Sundays. He was really big in this town when the Texans stunk. Now we're into actually watching the Texans play, so he might be on a side TV. But at points, Scott Hansen was saving us. There was other football to watch than the Cully, Lovie Smith stuff. But he was involved. He wasn't involved. He was around, I will say, because he was not a driver. And what was a bad accident? And I say this because there was a car upended on its hood, upside down. And there happened to be a TikToker because, of course, there's always a TikToker. For some reason, there was a crushed watermelon in one of the cars. Well, I know I was crushed. It was in an accident. But there was a watermelon in one of the cars. And the TikToker went into the car and picked out the watermelon to film it. And just so happens, when he panned away from the car that he was rifling through, there was Scott Hansen. Scott Hansen had his camera out filming too. Don't think it was for TikTok. Maybe it was just for evidence. Here's Scott Hansen, and the audio is a little garbled because, you know, it's just one guy pointing a phone at the other. But here's Scott Hansen being, I would expect him to sound like this when he's outside of NFL Red Zone stuff. This doesn't surprise me at all. Here's Scott Hansen commenting on the actions of a TikToker.
What that is? Hey, dude, what are you doing? Yeah. Guy just pulled out with watermelon on this car.
So you hear him say, hey dude, what are you doing? And obviously you hear all the background stuff from the cars driving by. And then he also goes, this guy's going through this car and grabbed the watermelon. That was part of it that you couldn't hear. Hey dude, what are you doing? Yeah, that tracks. That tracks your Scott Hansen. You know, hey man, what's up with you? You can find the video. It's very short, but it was, that accident was, I haven't heard anything about anyone being seriously hurt. You don't see any emergency vehicles on site. It was probably happened right after this particular video. But, yeah. Hey, dude. What are you doing? What's wrong with that watermelon,
it's
dude?
It's also the delivery. What are you doing?
Yeah. I wish he would use that on bad quarterback play.
It might be hypocritical, but he should definitely use this for clout. And week one when, I don't know, whoever the Broncos quarterback is, throws a terrible interception. Just, dude, Bo Nix, what are you doing?
He should bring it back.
It'll be a callback for the real ones who remember what happened on June 11th.
And the audio of him saying that will be better on his phone because he was filming it too. So he should maybe
release that cut virally.
The Hansen cut. That's right. We need the Hansen cut of the incident. And then we can all reference, hey, dude, what are you doing? And that should be his tag. Like, you got mossed.
Jacked up.
Shacked in a fool. Hey, dude, what are you doing? Of the worst plays of the Sunday.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one for when there's, like, three games in the afternoon window. And so they have to go to, like, pre-produced bits of, like, the top rookie performance from week 12. And the Amazon Prime clutch moment of the day. Yeah. And then they do the, you know, brought to you by Ford. Hey, man, what are you doing?
Yeah, we've got the witching
probably
hour.
Probably not by a car company.
Yeah, probably not. Considering what happened, probably not. Or
maybe someone wants to lean in.
Subaru?
Who knows? Safest car in the industry. You won't have what happened, not to Scott Hansen, but around Scott Hansen, if you drive a Subaru.
Your watermelon will be completely fine.
That's right. Do a watermelon test in the car. That's what you do. But you got the witching hour when the 12 o'clock window, at least in centrally, he calls it something else, the 12 o'clock window games are ending. Then you have right around 4:15, where there's maybe we're at halftime of the afternoon games. Like you said, maybe it's a light schedule. We have, hey, dude, what are you doing? You wrap up the boneheaded plays of the first window and talk about what's coming up next. I like it. Scott Hansen, come to us. We're idea men.
What are you doing?
Yeah, and you have it in that tone, like, and then if it's a bigger boneheaded play, hey man, what are you doing? You add stuff depending on the moment. And if you're like, if you're a four-time winner, do you treat it like Angry Runs where they get a shirt?
That's another scepter.
You
know what they get? They get a crushed watermelon.
Well, they get to come on. That you send a watermelon and they get to crush it with a hammer. That's what you do. The problem is there's some racial overtones if you send people watermelons. That is a problem. Now you got to always think about these things, Sean. You always have to have a guy in the room who thinks about the worst possible scenario.
This is why diversity matters.
Yes.
I would have completely overlooked
that. You would have forgot about it. And then Scott Hansen is sending a predominantly black league watermelons and talking about how dumb they are. And it would have been a problem.
You either need a black person in the room making the decision or a very racist person to be like, ha-ha,
I get it. Wait a minute.
Wait, what's the joke? What's the joke you're laughing at?
Exactly. Wait a minute. What are you laughing at? You have to do hard. You have to think the things out. He can't. Yeah, the watermelon has to go. Because the context is you did something really dumb, and for your efforts, I'm sending you a watermelon. Yeah, we got to wipe that one off the table.
Not a watermelon.
No, something else. I don't know what you do to recognize the situation, but not a watermelon. That'll be a cantaloupe problem. No melons, I think.
Okay,
we got to take the melons out of the equation.
A gourd of some sort.
I don't know. A pumpkin, maybe. Maybe a pumpkin. Yeah. Pumpkin could be fine. So, Scott, okay, we do have ideas. Now, all of them are great.
No.
We're working on stuff.
This is proof that we can think on the fly, come up with rough drafts, edit them, get a better final draft. That was the editing process, Scott.
Yeah.
You just saw it live.
You just heard it, at least. Or if you're watching on YouTube for whatever reason.
I think he is, yeah.
Yeah. So
what are you doing?
I'm glad everyone is safe. What are you doing should be a segment. Branding opportunities can go crazy for Scott Hansen. He's already got a Q rating that that's very high. We love that guy. We're glad everyone made it out of that accident okay. And Scott has provided us with the tagline, and he should capitalize.
Hey, dude, what are you doing?
This is what I'm saying. Come on. It's great. Only if it was cleaner, I would make it a drop on the show. Except you got to explain it to people every time we're playing it. But, you know, maybe we can get Michael Carroll on it. He's a whiz on that stuff, and then becomes something we use on the show going forward because there's
work some magic on the clarity.
Yeah, because there's going to be a lot of reasons for us to play that throughout, particularly during the college football season, because a lot of guys do things where we ask the question, "What are you doing?" Hell, I've got a head coach who I ask that about all the time.
Hey, dude, what are you doing?
Thank you. Yes. I use different words because I'm in the safety of my own home.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much that.
Dude might be a little too respectful for what you call Mario.
Very.
There's never some adjectives beforehand, dude.
Yeah. It's a lot of that. But
dumb
dude,
mother.
But to clean it up, I do a lot of, hey, dude, what are you doing when it comes to crystal ball and my favorite team, the Miami Hurricanes. So, hey, Scott Hansen's provided this show at the moment. And he's always provided those. We appreciate it. Well, it's really the games, but Scott Hansen does a great job. And now he does stuff outside of football that we know about. And the personality makes sense.
Hey, dude, what are you doing?
Come on. That if I told you Scott Hansen was in a moment where he wasn't covering football and he sounded like that, you'd be like, yeah.
Member of the media, like a member of the media who wears a suit for his job. Has an off-season video where he confronts, I guess, a TikToker.
Sure.
Saying, hey, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, huh.
Scott Hansen
would be pretty top of the list.
He's top two and he ain't two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know who else would be close.
I don't know.
Kyle Brandt?
Maybe, but Kyle wouldn't be as charming.
I feel like he's also a man, not a dude. Like, he'll drop, hey,
bro.
Man. Oh, bro.
I think Kyle Brandt's a bro type guy. I think he's saying bro.
Maybe Peter Schrager?
Possibly. Possibly. You might be right there. You might be right
there. That's all I got, though.
A lot of NFL Network guys are leaning into right now, or NFL affiliated guys.
Yeah. What, Damian Woody?
No.
No.
Mike Tannenbaum? No.
No, he's too busy cooking up ideas to ruin people's franchises. He did it in real life, and now he wants to do it hypothetically, too. That's what he's doing in the offseason.
Dominique Foxworth probably not doing a, hey, dude, what are you doing?
Nah. No.
Dude's the eliminator. Dude's the one where you're like, I just can't see this person calling someone dude casually.
No, I don't call people dudes. I don't think you call people dudes.
No.
But Scott Hansen, he definitely calls people dudes, as we just found out. We'll come back with more Astros. Ronel Blanco was great last night. He had been the epitome of a stopper. He had a rough couple outings. I'll give you some of the numbers from those previous outings. And that turned around last night as the Astros get a win in San Francisco. They try to take the series today with Framber Valdez on the mound. And if you like Framber tonight or this afternoon against the San Francisco Giants, you can go to MyBookie to put some money down, maybe on Framber or maybe just the Astros in general. That's why MyBookie is in place. You can bet on baseball. The finals are back, maybe with Kristaps Porzingis' mystery injury, the rarest injury of all time, which we'll get into a little bit later. You like the Mavericks tonight as well. There are plenty of things to bet on with MyBookie. You just go to MyBookie.ag. If you are someone who needs help, maybe you're not an expert, they have expert there to help you find where you can go and make yourself some money, and they help you get there with their bonus. Just use Bet975 if you're a new customer, and you get a bonus up to $1,000 for signing up. If you are an existing customer, you can get a bonus as well. They are looking to help you. I know it's kind of, you think, hey, why would a bookie site want to help you win? They're there for you. And it's not just about sports betting. If you like cards, they're there for you too. They have live dealers that deal you the cards. It's an experience. It's not just where you're sitting at a screen waiting for the cards to show up digitally. The live bookie adds to the experience. The live casino does as well. MyBookie.ag is the place you need to go to if you're looking to win money today. So bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie. That's anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Astros get the win. Blanco was great. 6-2 on the year. He bounced back from his last couple of shaky starts. In the two previous starts, he had given up 8 runs in 10 and a third innings. He lost both of those. He only allowed the third inning homer to Brett Wisely yesterday. Once again, non-batting gloves guy. Just bothers me. The worst thing that could have happened, other than a loss. But Blanco was certainly good beyond that. His ERA is at 2.67 with 12 starts. And he threw out 96 pitches. And that's kind of what you're looking for. Once you get to that 100-pitch mark, you're about done unless you're on the verge of a no-hitter. And even then, if it's after 6, you're not making it 9. He had 17 swing and misses. So a return to form, which is great. That pitching staff has been really good. I mean, the one guy who hasn't been good over this recent stretch, Verlander. And that one seemed like they're going to get away with it until the bullpen blew up. Ryan Pressly, part of that. He was good yesterday. We talked about in the first segment that the psychology of Ryan Pressly is something I don't know if a spot is equipped or even the organization's equipped to figure out. Does he need a sports psychologist? Because throw him in there in a ninth. Now, he's been generally bad. But last night in the ninth, when it was his game, it was his chance to close it out, great. Not even the Stressly stuff where he's given up a run and making it a ball game and stressing everyone out. He was great. Open and shut case. three up, three down. The Astros go on to win. A little stress in that ninth inning. So that is what, maybe the Blanco stuff aside, because we didn't expect that from him. But if we're talking about the formula, your starting pitcher goes six, and your bullpen, which should have been one of the strongest in baseball, but particularly 7, 8, 9, just goes out there and mows them down. They've gotten different contributions from guys we didn't think much about beyond Blanco, like Martinez and Taylor Scott. But you'll take it last night. I don't know if it's the show's motto, but I think it is. One at a time. We're going to be cliche as it comes when it comes to our hometown nine. Another cliche, by the way, on purpose there.
I'm okay with just analyzing every game as one game. Did they win? Did they lose?
And what happened in the game? Treat it like, yeah. Well, treat it like, look, I know they're 162. It's not as important as the NFL, but it's how I'm going to keep my sanity. Because the existential stuff with the Astros, it's not going to change from week to week. If they rip off 8 in a row, cool. And then after that, as we said, 500, we'll have real conversations.
I do have a question, though.
About the Astros?
About the Astros and how we maintain this one game at a time mindset, okay, as a show.
Sure.
What do we do on Monday shows?
Oh, when they've played three?
Yes.
You think we should acknowledge the Friday, Saturday games, but maybe we just place more importance on the Sunday game. We recap Friday, Saturday, but it doesn't affect our mood. We allow the Sunday game to affect our mood.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to ignore what happened for the days we weren't here.
But those...
But they're not going to pile up on me.
Yeah. You want to hear what our thoughts on those? We should have done a show on Saturday and Sunday.
Well, they'll pay me to do a show on Saturday and Sunday. Yeah.
Well, that. No, I just mean...
No, I know what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, if you... Yeah. Petition for us to do a show on Saturday. A quick segment on the Astros in podcast form if you want our actual thoughts on those games.
I love the idea of a petition starting... For us two,
of all people,
to talk about
baseball.
The Astros, not just the Astros, to talk about this Astros team for 15 minutes.
Yeah,
the Astros have
an official post game on the rights holder. They have a multitude of podcasts that discuss them. They have Locked On Astros, which I think talk about them every day. But us,
no, the streets when no one covers the 2024. Houston Astros, quite like the Del Olea show.
Well, you have a nice Astros hat on.
That helps.
That's a cool Astros hat.
That helps, yeah.
I like that hat.
I bet Locked On doesn't have this hat.
Not as cool as us. No. Or not as cool as you, at least.
That's how you know that, you know, we're the voice that baseball wants. You know, we're the cool, hip show.
Well, about. If we say hip, are we cool?
What?
If you actually use the word hip, are you actually the definition of that word or not? Or the antithesis of that word?
I think
word?
That's what baseball says.
Yes, because baseball thinks the word hip.
Is still hip.
Yes. When it has been
hip. We're not those jive turkeys talking about baseball.
It's true.
This is what baseball says.
I wish baseball would use jive turkey more in their write-ups and things.
They actually just still talk like it's the 70s.
The heyday.
The heyday of baseball. Huh?
When jive turkey was a thing,
or
people
maybe,
used.
Well, no, they can't celebrate. I mean, they do, but they can't celebrate the 90s, the real heyday, the steroid era.
It brings up conversations they don't want to have.
Yeah. Well, they can celebrate Butt C-League, but they can't celebrate any of the players.
Yeah. And then you have to – and then you just bring up before, then and now pictures of Sammy Sosa. And baseball doesn't want that.
No.
They don't want that. No. And I'm not talking about skinny Sammy Sosa and steroid Sammy Sosa. I'm actually talking about steroid Sammy Sosa and this version of Sammy Sosa, the one who's got a pink ghoulish nature.
Yeah, I was going to say the one who looks like Dracula.
Yeah, that Sammy Sosa. Not the skinny one. That's a problematic thing for baseball. But yeah, they don't want those pictures going viral. Sammy looking like whatever he's decided to look like. Him and that, was he wearing a pink cowboy hat at one point? Am I misremembering?
It's all pink. It's all pink.
Pepto Bismol Sammy is the one they don't want.
Pepto
Sammy is the one they don't want us focusing on. So we will focus on day to day, and on a day like today, after a win, and you got an afternoon game, you got a real shot to go and take two from the Giants with Fromber on the mound, and Fromber's been good coming off a complete game. So you hope, you might not get a complete game from him, but you hope you get something representative of what he is as a pitcher, and then you move on. And we will as well. So the news came out of this rare injury for Porzingis. I guess it befits a unicorn that people had never seen it before. I saw one Twitter doctor say one in a million type of injury where there's a possibility of them using a brace or taped so he can play. He's listed as day-to-day. We know the Mavericks are favored tonight. We know the series effectively ends tonight if they don't win. And Porzingis playing or not, sure, has an impact. And will he be limited? Probably. If we can take into account what he looked like when he left the floor. Now, he has been seen walking around without a limp, but that's just walking. I mean, even the doctor who said he had a chance to play, and doctor, I just saw some guy who put MD in his profile.
Nice.
Give a diagnosis. I don't know if he was a doctor or not.
Was he wearing a lab coat too? That's how you know you can trust
him. I don't remember. Maybe he's not even a doctor of medicine. Maybe he's like a doctor of psychology and he thinks he can give a diagnosis. But he talked about how going up and down, straightforward will be okay. And then he just started talking about things that might not go well, you know, like basketball stuff, like cutting from left to right and jumping up off the floor. You know, all things basketball players do. He goes, oh, that might hamper Porzingis, but if all he has to do is run up and down the floor, he should be okay. Well, basketball is, if they turn Game 3 into just a suicide competition, he might be okay. But because he actually has to play basketball, that might be up for debate. So Porzingis is a question mark today or tonight. And really the biggest thing for me is, can the Mavericks find some shooting? Obviously, Kyrie has to be better than Booby Gibson, but also the guys who are going to get open looks, can they? I don't think they can be as good as they were against the Thunder, because that's not who PJ Washington or Derrick Jones are. They're shooting more like they are in this series. It's what we call regression. But can you get to a happy medium for the Mavericks where the open looks are there and you make the Celtics pay? If you can find that, and of course if Luka could play game three, because that was a story that came out afterwards. We know he was questionable, and we saw he was wrapped up in ice and he was holding his chest after every shot he took in pregame. The story was he took a painkiller before game two. I imagine if he needs to, he'll take another painkiller and play. The biggest pain relief would be watching Kyrie not dribble all over himself. If he could get an actual performance from Kyrie that's representative of what he is as a player, I think Luka would be just fine. He'll do all the complaining he normally does. When he misses a shot, he'll grab at the brace. That's just Luka's way. But I think it would make him feel better.
Well, now he has the chest and midsection and stuff to grab at.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of that tonight, particularly if shots aren't going down.
It is funny that while I'm sure he is injured in some way, it has zero effect on any of our analysis. That's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, because
he always does this.
Yeah, Luka, we can see you. We know what happens when you miss shots. Your injuries become a bigger story, and when you're making shots, you're sneering, you're yelling.
There's also just the way he plays. It's like he can play.
You're moving slow
anyway. He can play at 75% speed, yeah. And like it's not like Giannis. Like Giannis, it's tough for him to gut through a knee injury.
Yeah, he becomes less effective the less athletic he can be due to injury. Luka feels like, oh, you're gonna slow down even more. I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah. Whatever. He's like a below average defender turning into a bad defender.
Yeah.
Like, okay, sure.
ESPN actually did some basketball discuss, had some actual basketball discussion. Of course, they didn't have one of their guys who they pay a lot of money to. They had Chinee do it, and she pointed out that Luka has been blown by more times than anyone ever, like the first two games of a final series. I didn't know that stat existed. It was evident on television. And did it come from Twitter conversations that they decided to make a whole segment out of? But
I'd just love to see the blown by stats.
Yeah, where do those come from?
What's the website I look at for that?
Yeah,
I'm not denying the stats. I actually just want to see.
I believe that
how
they're true.
Funny of a list it would be.
I didn't know blown by stats were a thing.
Yeah, it makes sense where it's like, yeah, you're the primary defender, and the guy
people are putting you on switches.
Yeah, the guy gets a layup. You got blown by, or something. You know, like,
or it leads to a paint touch that causes rotation that leads to an open three.
Yeah,
things like that. Yeah. Man. He's been bad. I talked about.
I hope we have prime James Harden stats on those.
Well, don't you, what you want? James and the post defensive stats? Because those are totally different stories.
I know those. They're practically tattooed on everyone's body. every James Harden defender from 2018.
Yeah, he would lock up Kevin McHale in the post. Prime Shaq got no chance against James in the post. We just ignore the fact that, you know, most of the time he was in an era where no one had post-up game, or he was against a guard who had no game in the post. So, but yes, James on switches was stout because, you know, he didn't have to move very much. He could just stand there, which you know, plays into him on the defensive end. If I could just stand there and be big and strong, that'll help me. And he was better than people imagined. You know, did it make up for the fact that he was a league leader in blown by stats?
We don't know that yet.
My human eyes tell me. You're right. We don't have the numbers behind it, but my human eyes tell me he was one of the guys who, if he ever made another finals, maybe Luka would have broke his record if he had made one since 2012. But that game's tonight. If we want any type of drama, root for the Mavericks win. But if you're a Houston fan and can't stand Dallas succeeding, I get it. You just want devil incarnate, that is the Celtics, to win. We all have our priorities. Me, I would like a better series, and I'd like to see the Celtics not win. Someone tweeted out, and Jerry West did pass away, if you do not know. We have not gotten to it. He passed away, I guess, in his sleep at 86 years old. Someone tweeted out that he couldn't stand to see the Celtics win another title. So he said, no, it's time. It's time. Jerry West at 86 leaves this mortal plane. And I think all the conversations about Jerry West not being the logo anymore are done. I don't think that conversation is going to be had anymore. A lot of it because apparently the NBA needed a logo change to bring interest. Hey, let's change the logo to someone a lot of people have seen play. I think we're cemented. Of course, Jerry West was always going to pass away at some point. But I think at this point, this, if it hasn't solidified his spot as the logo until the NBA decides they're no longer going to do that thing anymore, I can't see any way after the outpouring of love that he's gotten that a logo change is going to be on the horizon at any point. Jerry West passes away at 86 years old. We got a couple more segments to go here. We can talk about something very funny that happened in college football, and it's only funny if you are a nerd for college football, because Brian Kelly got mentioned, Lane Kiffin has chimed in, and the football nerd in Missouri has got a pretty good program, but he did something no one should do, particularly if you're going to wear a somewhat unattractive button-up. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really? Okay.
You can watch the show on ESPN Houston at YouTube. Just search that, and you can watch the entire lineup on the YouTube channel. So I mentioned before we went to break that there is another embarrassing coach video out there. And we talked about recruiting earlier in the week. People were very upset with the Longhorns for breaking out the Lambos as a corridor, if you look at the video, just lined up on each side to welcome recruits into the facility for a big recruiting weekend. And I would say Eli Drinkwitz should have gotten Lambos. He is the head coach of Missouri. That's a good program. He's done a good job there. They made a New Year's Six game last year, played Ohio State. I believe they won that game, too. So that's a program people think can make the college football playoff. Not the real playoff, right, Sean? Not the four-teamer.
No, but not the playoff from back in my day.
Yeah, but the 12-team playoff that will begin this year. And sometimes you got to do dumb things to get the attention of a 17- or 18-year-old. I mean, generally that's related to dating. Like, I was trying to think of the dumbest thing I ever did to have a woman, even beyond 17 or 18, pay attention to me, and they generally never work. Like, if you do something dumb, like, think about it, Sean. Maybe you don't want to open yourself up and be vulnerable. But if think about what you thought would attract the attention of someone you liked, And now that you think about it, it was pretty dumb. Do you think it worked or did it work?
No.
No. Generally, doesn't work. Being dumb in those situations, and well, you don't think it's dumb at the time. You think, hey, I'm showing that I like you. Generally, those things are stupid and they don't work.
Yeah. Generally.
Generally. Sometimes, if you got enough Riz, it might work. Yeah. But for the most of us who are Riz deficient, it usually doesn't work to be so stupid about your and open about your potential affection. So Eli Drinkwitz is in the mode of recruiting. As I mentioned before, maybe earlier in the week, June is a time you get kids on campus, the calendar's pushed up, you try to get commitments from your big-time recruits. So what he's done is very similar to what Brian Kelly did when Brian Kelly got to LSU. It's one of those rooms where the camera circles around the player. It's something you might see at an event, I don't know, maybe at a wedding or a bachelorette party. Like they have, like, it's very hard for me to explain. I'm not sure what the camera's called, but it just circles around the person in the vicinity, and it gives you this 360 view of them. And in this case, it's Eli Drinkwitz with a recruit in full Missouri gear. Like the recruit is dressed up as if he's running out on the field for a Saturday afternoon. Eli Drinkwitz is in a button up and some khakis, fake playing the guitar. And I say, Sean, you've seen both. Everyone that's seen has seen the Brian Kelly one, who is into college football like we are. Brian Kelly is poorly dancing. He's doing the whole finger thing across his eyes. It's really bad. Drinkwitz, after being clowned by Lane Kiffin, said, hey, man, sometimes you got to rock out to Creed. Of all mute bands he's decided to choose to make a joke, he said Creed. Or maybe Creed was really playing in the room. I hope not. For his recruiting sake. Play something else.
No, that's what the kids love.
Scott Stapp. That's what the kids
love.
That's
how you build a the football powerhouse.
I'm sure it's written all over the facility. Can you take me higher? I'm sure it is. But hey, you've seen both. Drinkwitz, fake guitar playing, and he's really into it. The recruit's holding up a WWE championship belt. Where do you rank him as far as embarrassing coach videos, particularly when it comes to the SEC?
I have to say, I think as far as embarrassing videos, I think that the Brian Kelly one is a little bit worse.
I do too.
Not just because of the action performed in the video, but if you think about it, Brian Kelly's a good football coach. Brian Kelly's won a lot of games.
You've been to a title game, Brian Kelly.
He's been to a title game. He's made the playoff. He hasn't won any of those games, but he's been there.
Have some shame, I think, is what you're saying.
Yes,
understand.
Exactly.
You have reached a level where you don't have to do this.
This is something Eli Drinkwitz has to do.
Yes.
To get kids to go to Mizzou. This is
You're LSU.
You're LSU and you're Brian Kelly. Like right now, if we want to, and some of this is helped by Nick Saban retiring, a lot of retirements, Jim Harbaugh leaving the sport or going to the NFL. Brian Kelly, you could say, is a top three coach in college football right now.
Ooh,
as far as resume and if you even want it like that way, we don't have like is Larry Coker still coaching? Like we don't have some guy who was good 20 years ago.
You've drifted us into an actual conversation as opposed to our haven of nonsense that we normally get into. So Brian Kelly, okay, let's with Harbaugh gone, he is another guy
who has
a national title on the resume who's no longer in the game. So national title winners, we don't even have Jimbo anymore. He's no longer there.
No.
We have Dabo.
We have Dabo. We have Kirby Smart.
Kirby Smart. And who else?
We have, Mack Brown.
Mack Brown. So we're going to remove Mack Brown from the top three conversation.
Okay. That's fast. No, I mean, Mack Brown is, I said Larry Coker. Mack Brown is 100% fits into.
He won that title 4 years after Larry Coker did.
He was great. He was great 20 years ago.
Yeah. Now he's, middling at North Carolina. So, Mack Brown out of the equation. Kirby Smart up there. You're going to have him at least top three.
He's number one.
Number one for you. So, after that, let's go around the country. We stay in the ACC. Dabo would be their really only representative if we're going to use the conference We're going to pick him out of the conference, yeah. Right?
We need to see more from Bill O'Brien, but yes.
Yes. Bill O'Brien at Boston College has a shot to rise up the rankings really quickly, I guess. In the Big Ten, there is not a national title winner. We know about your disdain for James Franklin. So John I guess Franklin. The only choice would be Ryan Day, who can't win the big game.
No, Ryan, yeah, no.
So he's out. So the Big Ten doesn't have one who should make the top three.
No, Kurt Ferentz, maybe.
I mean, longevity. He's been really good at Iowa, but come on.
I don't actually believe this.
There are levels to this thing.
Yes.
So we've removed the Big Ten from the equation as far as top three. It's getting a little tough right now. We go to the Big 12. Is there anyone in the Big 12 do you think could be up there? Is Gundy?
Who's even in the Big 12?
Can Gundy be a top three coach?
Kyle Whittingham.
Kyle Whittingham's pretty good. If we're going to have a dark horse pick, Kyle Whittingham, I think putting him in the top three, considering what he has to work with at Utah and what he's done, I think I might throw him in there.
I mean, Dykes made a title game, but he's been pretty 7-5, 5-7 every other year. Coach Prime.
No.
Too early to tell, Coach Prime. Yeah.
Lance Leopold, no, at Kansas.
Yeah, Leopold, Kansas State. Kleiman.
Yeah.
Kleiman. Not really.
So
Matt Campbell, no.
Not Aranda.
Yeah.
So who are you taking?
Gus Malzahn. Is that UCF? I forgot UCF.
National title. You're right. I forgot about him as a national title. No, he was an OC. Gene Chizik won
the
national
title. He went to
one. But Gus Malzahn has been to a title game as a head coach. So, are we taking Kyle Whittingham as the best head coach out of the Big 12?
Yeah, I'll take. Yeah, I mean, it is between Whittingham and Malzahn, but I'll take Whittingham.
Over Gundy. Malzahn over Gundy.
Yeah. What's Gundy ever won?
Well, he's never been to a national title game. That's true.
Gus Malzahn beat Nick Saban like 5 times. Like, what are we talking
about? Gundy, what, he beat Stoops plus...
Cool.
And who else?
Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley maybe 3 times.
Beat Todd Herman or Tom Herman a lot. Wow. Cool.
I'm not giving him credit for Herman. I wasn't going to go there.
I was at a game where he beat Charlie Strunk on some BS.
How dare that.
On some refereeing BS.
The ref's out to get Texas.
Uh-huh.
Oh, sure. Okay. I'm sure that's how it goes.
That's what this conversation is really about. So let's go Whittingham as
the Big 12 representative. We'll throw him in the top three. So we've got Smart, Whittingham. So you're taking Brian Kelly over Dabo. Who has two national titles.
I mean, this is where it gets hard, where it's like today, yes, resume-wise, Dabo has
them. That's part of the talk when we talk about college football coaches.
So then I'll give it to Dabo. Because he has two titles.
So you would put Kelly at a strong four, clear four? You think he's a better head coach, what he has to work with, than say a Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin, this version of Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, he's never going to be the recruiting giant that others. He has to work the transfer portal. He does a good job there. That Ole Miss team is a good to very good program under Lane Kiffin. Not great. But he has changed their trajectory where we are having conversations about them making the playoff.
Yeah. They'll be a top 10 team.
So are you putting Brian Kelly over Lane Kiffin?
Yes.
Okay.
Just because he's actually done it.
He's actually, well, it's been.
He had a Heisman Trophy
winner. It's been 12 years ago, though.
He won 10 games last year.
Yeah, but you say he's actually done it. It was 12 years ago that he made a title game.
Well, he made a playoff in like 2017.
He Notre Dame'd his way in. Whatever. I barely give those guys credit when they make the playoff.
Just saying, he did that.
Sure. Okay. We'll give him that. And he did it with the four-teamer. And then he made a BCS title game. So the harder road was certainly his. Mm-hmm. So, okay. You got him at four. Or do you have him ahead of Whittingham or Dabo? Let's be clear. If you think he's better, I think he's better.
I think I have Whittingham four, Kelly three.
Interesting.
I mean, there's other, like, we didn't bring up Dan Lanning at all. Didn't bring up.
True. That's another one.
Lincoln Riley, because we forgot that they're in the Big Ten.
I wouldn't have Lincoln Riley as a
no.
top five coach right now. Because defense matters to me at least a little bit.
In this program, yes, it does.
Yes. The way we run things, defense matters. So we don't really have a solid top five. We just know, at least in Sean's, I'm not sure about Brian Kelly being a top five coach. Sean's leaning a lot into what he did at Notre Dame, which is now – at least particularly the national title run, or at least national title game run over a decade ago. But, hey, he's up there. With all the departures, We usually use championship winning coach as a line of demarcation as far as where you're ranked. But a lot of those guys are out of the game or coaching at places where you can't win a national title like UCF. North Carolina would think they can win one, but I have my doubts about Mack Brown ever getting that program to a point where they can. So, hey, if Brian Kelly's in your top five, he's in your top five. He does have a top two embarrassing video, though.
I think he's, I mean, that conversation, he is top five. Top three was, preference, but he is top five.
Okay.
Unless you want to give it to Dan Lanning, who's never beat Washington.
I'm not giving it to Dan Lanning.
Who's never beat Washington.
He's old.
Comma, who's never beat Washington. That's his entire name. Dan Lanning, comma, who's never beat Washington.
Okay.
He had two chances last year. He would have made the playoff.
Couldn't get it done.
If he won either one of them.
Didn't get it done. So you have beef with Dan Lanning. Do you have beef with Dan Lanning or beef with the hype surrounding Dan Lanning?
The second one. The hype. I mean, because if you look at lists, like, he's just in the top five.
They just elevate him.
I'm like,
yeah.
Part
of that is the Georgia stink.
Yes. I get that some of it is, like, we go through. It's hard to fill out a top five. But it's also like, I mean, give me Kalen DeBoer over Dan Lanning.
Beat him twice. Yeah. Got the Alabama job.
I don't know. That seems easy.
Yeah. The guy who beats the other guy should be ahead of him. The guy who made the playoff at the expense of the other guy should be ahead of him. I agree.
I agree. Know. Call me crazy.
I agree. Beat him the biggest game of the year in the Pac-12? I agree.
Oh, forgot Mike Norvell. Speaking of not making the playoff.
You don't get out of here with Mike Norvell.
He's got one year. He's top 10. He's 10.
That's wild to me. We don't have time, but you putting Mike Norvell in the top 10 is egregious.
He went 13-0 last year.
That's one season, Sean. I know he was great at Memphis, did really good at Memphis.
Yeah.
But top 10 coach, let's see.
Won 10 games the year before?
If you're top 10 duel, DJU.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll tell him that.
That's the proving ground. You do it, DJU. Transfer twice already. We'll see if you're top 10. We've got one more segment to go here as I can't believe Sean dropped Mike Norvell as we close out the segment. And I don't really have time to debate it because we got to go. One more segment here. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
One more segment to go. The lineup has been giving out gift cards to JBRM. I don't have one here, unfortunately, but I can tell you that if you won one or you want to take advantage of what JBRM has to offer, you'll be well rewarded. They brought in brisket and ribs. I've only tasted a piece of the brisket. It's really, really good. I know what I'm having for lunch and probably a little bit of dinner today because they hooked us up. And they'll hook you up, too. Go to JBRM. If you love barbecue, they're the place for you. They brought the sides as well. Sean had green beans in his hand. There's mac and cheese, shrink corn. They also have the Brussels sprouts with the bacon jelly. The bacon jelly is big time. So JBRM is feeding ESPN 975. Let them feed you, too. If you want good barbecue, hey, hook your dad up if he's not going to be cooking this weekend. And really, he shouldn't. But he loves his barbecue. JBRM is a place for him. They're also gonna debut at some point soon what they call their Reggie Jackson Brownie. There's going to be a Reggie bar baked into their scratch brownie recipe, and it'll have homemade ice cream as well. And it looks like we do have a giveaway, but we'll probably start that on the Gallant and George show because I'm not actually clear about what the back end of this liner says. So I'm sure Gallant and George will have you hooked up with something from JBRM because they're hooking everyone up with Father's Day approaching. Okay. We've had Rowdy Roddy Piper call in. Now, so this is Hollywood Hogan. This is part of NWA. No, NWO Hogan. It would be funny if he was in NWA. That would be funny.
He knows what it stands for sure.
Yes. But yes, he has used those words before. But Hollywood Hogan joins the show. He says he wants to talk about the Astros, but we'll see. What's up?
Hey, K. Pasta, Delvin Tito. I want to congratulate the Astros on a really good win. But hey, does it make me an ally if I'm #woke? Just wondering.
No, it doesn't. Woke, at this point, it's an empty word used by people to I guess, demean people who take it seriously. No, it doesn't make you an ally. You know better. Go out and help people. I don't care who you help. Just go help someone. Then you're an ally to them. I don't have any real care about who you're helping. Just go out and help people. That's my general philosophy. If you can, help people better themselves and them and their lives. And in turn, do it for yourself as well. I know I made this very serious, Hollywood Hogan, but it feels like you, at this point in your life, need a good talking to. I've seen what you've done over the last 15 years. I mean, the wrestling stuff, cool. But once we get outside of the wrestling, you've had your issues. But you did take down Gawker, I think, when they illegally filmed you in your sex tape. Hollywood Hogan joins the show. We've had wrestling legends the last couple of days. If Razor Ramon wants to call in again, we welcome him because he was great. Chico. A couple of things to get to. Actually, I don't have any time. I've been distracted by Hollywood Hogan. So what do we have coming up this afternoon? Astros in San Francisco. Fromber has a chance to stack another performance up, and that's what we're looking for. Stack good performance after good performance. We'll take it one game at a time. And then at some point, if what we believe about what some of you believe about this Astros team is true, all these performances will get stacked on top of each other, and then we're talking about a good baseball team. Until that point, I will take it as it comes. Also, I guess we'll do this one dumb thing before we wrap it up. Do you think the Joey Chestnut thing is actually a real story? The fact that a guy I've never seen do his job is not going to do his job this year, it doesn't hit me. I don't. The fact competitive eating bothers me.
Oh, that's what. I thought you were saying this isn't real. Like this is all PR.
Oh, it could be, but I haven't dived that deep into it. I just think I gotta care about a guy who eats hot dogs for a living. Is that a story in sports?
Normally, I only have to care about them for 2 days.
Now you're giving me how much time? Till July 4th, I have to have this story?
I have to care about
the back and forth, keeping him in the news?
Yeah. No.
You know what? I'm glad JRM doesn't have a vegan option.
I'm thinking that the competitive eating stuff, pretty close to jumping the shark, I think.
Yeah, man.
I think it's a social media joke where it's like, yo, great American hero, look at him eat.
Yeah.
And I feel like, especially the hot dog eating contest by banning Joey Chestnut. Guys, this thing only really works with Joey Chestnut.
Yeah, what are you guys doing? Can anyone who isn't kind of a nut, can anyone name anyone but him and Kobayashi?
Yeah, I was going to say, or Kobayashi. Those two, and you ban both of them? Like, guys, you don't have a sport anymore.
Yeah. This is why I mentioned before, people get upset. I would get upset if I was a person who loved women's basketball. Hey, you want us to treat our sport like it's the hot dog eating contest? We're not a sideshow. The games matter to us. We're just not going to give people things because you want them to happen. We're not the Savannah Bananas. We care about our sport. Let people earn things. We wouldn't treat baseball that way. But we try to treat the WNBA that way. But we're done. Shout out to Joey Chestnut taking a stand, becoming a vegan in May. And he's got to pay the price, I guess. He can't be in the Nathan's Eating Hot Dog Eating Contest. I won't be involved in that. I won't be watching it. Maybe you will. All power to you. I'm done for the day. Blunt and George up next. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Loot and Raid rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save me.